Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. From right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great place to go to pick up a Yamaha golf cart, perhaps an ATV, UTV, side-by-side motorcycle, e-bike, scooter, lawnmower, snowmobile, everything. They have everything. And you can check it out on their website, ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. I just got to see the multi-talented Drew from Impact Power Sports and his lovely better half. That would be Mary Lou. Mary Lou, but Mary Lou, you know. Pretty as a picture. Such a sweetheart. I love those two. Man Bun Chris is here. I see Ben Glaze in the house. We have a Big Fraud Friday this week. What? Yeah, that's right. A Big Fraud Friday. That may have happened once or twice in the past. Schedules have been a little nutty for your old pal EZ lately. But nevertheless, we're doing it on a Friday. I've gotten more than one compliment in the chat about this fantastic Jennison Wildcat hoodie. This is the Special Olympics one. This is actually Pooh Bear's. I go, why do I fit into this? You're 4'11". Why do I fit into this? And I was like, oh, maybe I'm like shrinking, which I am. But she's like, well, I always get it big so I can wear it over something else. I go, oh, okay. Thought for a second it was like noticeable. I haven't noticed anything when it comes to I feel like in my face I'm not as disgusting, but it's got to be a slow process. I continue to have success keeping my calories well below what I need, running a little bit of a deficit each day in order to lose the disgusting fat. I am still, though, sedentary. I haven't yet started moving, other than doing housework. Housework can be, I'm constantly getting up, but I'm not like doing anything sustained. But Saturday, it was a big housework day for your old pal EZ. And I had to shovel the snow. So there you go. That's my exercise. So if I'm going to get any exercise right now, it's going to be from incidental exercise like that. But Pooh Bear said, dad. No, I almost said dad. I did say dad. She said, let's do this bedroom. I go, you're darn right. Deep clean. So I look at it. My ADHD brain, she goes, well, let's get the vacuum and vacuum. I go, no. Because she said, I have a feeling that there's too much dust in this room from the pets, stuff like that. Which is true. I was actually poking around because there was so much disgusting dust that I actually looked it up. And most of what dust is dead skin. So dog, dead skin, and human, dead skin. You're constantly shedding your skin. Not to mention dog hair. And then they get, like, charged, and then they stick together. So, all right, Pooh Bear, let's do it. And I went to a spot in the room. You know, like you have that fan with the blades above your bed, and then above that is the motor. That dust hasn't been touched since we moved in. So I put on a mask I got the old school COVID mask and dusted all that shit off. And I said, strip the bed, let it all fall on the, we're going to change the sheets anyway. It's like snowing on the, I couldn't even hardly see. There was so much dust. Got it all off of those blades and those light fixtures. So much dust. It's ridiculous. And then I started, I went to all the, you know, the window casings around each window. All those had so much dust on. It was remarkable how much dust. And then I go, all right, give it a few minutes. Then it all settles on the ground. And then the vacuuming starts. Oh, my God. Okay. I started with an empty canister on the vacuum. And I posted about this on Facebook. But I did this 5 times. I emptied the canister 5 times. This is the empty one. Here's the full one. Look at Bruce just staring at it. Look at all that matted disease in there. And I did this 5 times for just this bedroom. Ugh. We are filthy. We are filthy, disgusting human beings. Wiped everything down with disinfectant, completely cleaned this room. It was cleaner than the cleanest hospital room, which I guess some of those aren't really clean. Then I busted out the this thing. We got this industrial strength, the type you rent at the store, carpet cleaner. And look at this. Black water. Oh, black water, keep on rolling. Disgusting. Man Bun Chris says, now do not touch it for another 12 months. At least that's how I do it. No, absolutely. You trash, you clean. You trash, you clean. People that, I don't know how people do it, but there are people who have clean houses all the time. Like every single minute of the day, they're like, I don't know how they maintain it. It's like, pisses me off. I want to just drop in on them. Like in the middle of the week when they don't know we're coming, just to see if it's a fucking hellhole. Like we visited, I visited my neighbor's house. I went in there unexpectedly and it was a disaster area. And my neighbor was like really like mortified that I was seeing the house. It was, there's toys, kid, they're much younger. They got little kids, there's toys everywhere. And they start like cleaning them up while I'm in there. I go, what are you doing? Well, I go, look, you're making my day right here. I like to see that there are other people who live normally. Because too often I go into people's homes, they know I'm going to be there, and then they like clean up the joint. Megan says, I used to clean houses for other people. I hate cleaning my own house. How about you would clean the hell out of a house? Nick in the arena writes, I was cleaning my carpet at the same time you were. Some real dark broth coming out of the carpet. When I posted that, this happens every time, you'll get somebody who'll say, we ripped out all our carpet and we put down hardwood floors. And it's like, yeah, I know. I know. That's what everybody says they do. I get it. I still like carpet. Megan says, do not show up at my house unannounced. There's going to be a mess and I won't be wearing pants. Megan says, we do have hard floors. That shit still gets gross. Yeah, there's no way to avoid this. No way. Stevie says, Riley barfed 7 times yesterday, all of them on carpet. I know what you've been through. Why did the dog barf 7 times? You know, 2 or more is a trip to the vet. My God. I did high school hockey this weekend on Friday and Saturday. And the Friday game, it was the scorekeeper, and it was me in the middle, and to my right is the guy who plays the music. And the guy who plays the music was shit-faced. And at first, I could smell something. It's like, and then I'm like, it didn't quite hit me. And then when I started to speak with the guy, he was like slurring his words. And then I went, oh, okay, you're drunk. What the fuck? So let me get this straight. It's early on a Friday. It's the start of the game. And you're drunk, which means you were drunk probably prior to driving here to the rink. And now you're sitting, so you're fucking shit-faced. And as the game wore on, he got drunker. Like, he started, the more time passed, the slurring became more and more pronounced. So I'm trying to ignore him, but he had that annoying a drunk thing going on where like everything was just weird. And I'm there with the athletic trainer for the school. And so the game ends and I walked up to her and I go, hey, and she goes, he was drunk. And I go, okay, that's what I thought. She goes, yeah, I thought so. And then it seemed like she was thinking the same thing as me. He got drunker as the game went on. I go, yes, he did. Holy shit. So I don't know if he went out to his car and sucked down a couple more. But what the fuck? Ugh. Chris says, baller move showing up to a high school game hammered. Hard living line activities. Cole says, how was the music? Music was fine. Everything about it was fine, except that he smelled and he was slurring his words. He did know who I was. I don't think he had enough info, though. He knew me from the radio. He had no idea that I PA announced professionally. And so here I am doing a high school game, you know, and he goes, so have you ever done this? I go, yeah, once or twice. He goes, oh, cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Miss you on the show. I go, you still listen? He goes, no, I don't listen anymore. I go, oh, okay. And this is, I was starting to like hone in on the drunkenness. Branjo says, one thing I don't miss about drinking enough to feel drunk, but still being able to pass as sober. It was like, always trying to walk a tightrope. It's so much easier now. Nick says, I had friend's husband who would go slam a pint in the bathroom and just get drunker by the minute. Tyler A says, showing up to a high school game drunk sounds fun until all the shame starts to catch up. So in this game, the home team victorious, and they mercied them. The other team scored the first goal, and then Hudsonville scored like 7 straight goals. And once you get like up 8 goals, then they don't like run the clock. They don't stop the clock. Period ends. It ended at 2 periods. What an ass kicking. I find that with a lot of youth hockey, there is a real discrepancy between, like, there's a handful of good, really good teams in the state, and then the rest of the teams aren't good. Hudsonville is one of those good teams. But if you're the dad, Jesus Christ, who's drunk at the game, Holy shit, that's going to catch up with you, you dumb fuck. Jesus. You're lucky you didn't kill anybody. Megan said, I'm sure his kid loves that. Yeah, how did you go there by yourself or did you drive the kid drunkenly to the hockey game and you're going to drive him drunkenly home? You stupid bastard. My God. The great food giveaway is one day closer. So December 23, it's December 8 now. So we are 15 days away from the great food giveaway. I'm reasonably concerned with our dollar amount that we've raised. We were able to get one or two over the weekend. That rolled in. Hang on, the iPhone just updated. Did you have that happen to you too? Thank you to... God, I just had one that came in. I think it was Brian who sent one along for... Brian D is the most recent. We have 61 of you that have contributed to the great food giveaway. The total amount needed is $5,577.75. We are off of that mark by $1,633.68. So we need to raise $1,633.68 by the 23rd. So that works out to, on average, we need $108 a day. If any come in while I'm talking about it right now, and I think one just did come in from Josh, I will not include it in the total until we discuss this again tomorrow. So as of the start of this show today, that is the dollar amount. Typically, when I talk about it on this show, people are like, oh, yeah, that's right. I gotta send mine along. And then they show up here. So thank you in advance if you're doing that. Thank you if you've even thought about it. I am posting in the chat the links for our virtual hat passing right now. Venmo at Eric-Zaitunian. Cash App, $Eric Zaitunian, all together. PayPal, search Eric Zane Show, LLC. You guys are awesome. You're doing an outstanding job. So thank you so much for that. So going into the start of the show today, $3,944.07 collected. So we are in need of $1,633.68 to pay for 225 Christmas meals to be given away on Tuesday, December 23rd for great food giveaway number 6. The largest amount that we have ever given away. Thank you so much. I'm excited about seeing you all on the big day. And if you would like to be at the festivities, welcome back, my friends. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. All right, hopefully things are back. I don't know what the hell happened there. Your old pal EZ was up late last night. It dawned on me during the evening that I had yet to write a test, the final exam for the broadcast communication class that I am the adjunct professor for with Dr. Avery. And so I'm like, oh, I have to write an exam. Holy shit. sat down, and at first I was like, okay, I'll just bang this thing out really quick. And then I'm like, that's not possible. There is no way I can do a sloppy job on writing an exam. So I put in the time. It took me a couple hours, but I would share it with you, but I don't want to throw anything out there to the world about what is coming up on the exam for the students, as we are nearly at the end of my first semester of teaching the broadcast communications class at Aquinas College. I will say that I'm excited to see what the students have to say about the class. Hopefully they've had a good experience. And I am expected to be doing this class again next year. It'll be much easier the second time around because, honestly, a lot of what I talk about in the class, I had to read all the text, I had to write my notes, I had to come up with all the various elements of things to share with the class. There'll be some tweaks to it, but for the most part, I think I'm going to need to do this class for two or three years, semesters, if you will, because we only offer it once a year, before I'm like, yes, I got this down. There were times during this one semester that I felt like I was losing my mind because I was having anxiety attacks. Being that I talk to people every single day, there is something about speaking in front of people that is on a different level. Like, I can't see your faces right now. You add into the mix that they're young people. Again, the goal was nobody falls asleep. And we did have one guy who loved to fall asleep. And I even gave him a mock award, and I said, most likely to fall asleep. But he only fell asleep when Dr. Avery was talking. And I made sure of that. I paid attention to him. Like, if I can keep this one guy awake, they're all going to stay awake. So I think that is the biggest takeaway. I got a text yesterday from a student who reached out. And I'm not going to say who it is, but they had a question about the assignment. And he opens it with, "Good evening, Professor Zane." Which is just so damn funny to me. The fact that I am a professor. Now, I think they should just call me adjunct. Good evening, Adjunct Zane. Which I think that means educator, but no degree to go with it. Good evening, Professor Zane. I wrote almost all of my essay, but upon rereading the instructions for the self-reflection essay, I realized that I wrote the whole thing wrong. Instead of writing and scoring myself and team members based on each individual podcast, I scored based on planning, recording, and editing as a whole for each of the two projects. Is this going to be accepted, or do I need to rewrite? So I said, all right, sit tight. And then I conferred with Dr. Avery. And it was not necessary for him to rewrite it. So I told him, not necessary to rewrite. You are fine the way you did it. Becca Shea writes, so cute. It is cute. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh. What a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, You've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon goods were all out of the ordinary. Mooney says, do they ever give you a bewildered look? Like, huh? LOL. Yes. And that was tough because when I first started lecturing, this was the look you get. And at about that time, I started seeing, just by coincidence, when I would look at, you know, updates on news, I'd see articles about whatever. And then I noticed there was an article about something called the Gen Z stare. And the theory is, and I don't believe it, the theory is that Gen Z, whether they're in customer service, let's say it's a barista at Starbucks, or in the classroom, that they just stare with you. Or stare at you, and they don't know what the hell you're talking about. And that is, I am not Mr. Attack the Young Generation. That's not new. The Gen Z stare before that was known as the Millennial stare. And before that, it was the Gen X stare. And before that, the Boomer stare. All right. It doesn't matter what generation a younger person talking to anybody, you're going to get this. Because all they're interested in is drinking heavily, smoking pot, and having sex. And those are three things that are better than anything else that exists on the planet if you're that age. Yeah, I've never been a big one of the, saying that we're completely fucked because of the younger generation. I don't want to piss off the younger generation. I always want to be supportive of the younger generation to a degree. I mean, I might bitch about them here from time to time. This is all we got. I would like to think there are plenty of young people who've got their shit together. By the way, I had an interaction the other day when I was at that hockey game with the drunk guy next to me. And this dude comes up to me and he goes, hey, are you EZ? Yeah, hey, how are you? I thought he was like a listener. He was, but he says, so I am your son's boss. I go, you are? So Jim paints interiors and exteriors. And this is all I know about this gig. One day he was working at one place, and the next day he wasn't. He was a forklift operator at a place called In On Time, which is, I guess, a terrific place to work. And but he didn't want to work there anymore. So he said, yeah, I'm getting a new job. I'm going to be a painter. And I don't even know who this guy is. I have no idea. I'd never heard of him. And so, but it was cool to meet this guy because I got a good handle as to what type of operation the guy is running. Very credible and very polite, very, he had his act together. He's probably about 40 years old and he paints high-end homes, actually. And he has a contractor that he works for, and he doesn't even have to pitch his business. He just gets the gigs from the contractor. So Jim paints those houses. You ever see that movie, The Irishman? I hear you paint houses. I hear you paint houses. Why, yes, I do, Mr. Hoffa. Yes, I do. And this guy was so cool. And he goes, I love your son. I go, well, that's great. Why? Jim was always described when he was like playing hockey as a locker room guy. He would keep the other teammates loose. He was always doing something hilarious and fun, and everybody loved him. And I go, you know, I have had this conversation with so many people over the years, and this is the same. This guy is saying the same thing. He goes, Jim keeps the atmosphere light and fun, and he's very good at what he does. I go, are you really? That's outstanding. I'm so happy to hear that. All right. The college football playoffs are now set. Now, there's a couple things we need to discuss. First off, Notre Dame did not get in. And people are pissed about that. I guess, you know, because Notre Dame had a pretty good year, but not good enough to get in to the college football playoffs. And, you know, every year there's always somebody who is kept out of the playoffs. And this year it was their turn. So people just aren't having it. Notre Dame then turns around and they have announced that they are not going to attend whatever bowl game that they are invited to. So they're not in the top 12. And now they were whatever bowl game they were going to be invited to, they have said, we're not going to play in that bowl game. So here's two different points of view. I don't know who the fuck this guy is, but I think he used to play football somewhere.
Cowardly, immature, and pathetic by Notre Dame withdrawing from a bowl game because you didn't get into the college football playoffs, even though your team is 10-2. Cowardly. Immature. You robbed seniors of their final football game of their career. You robbed underclassmen of three more weeks of development on field. And furthermore, you robbed your fan base of another exciting and thrilling game because you didn't get into the bowl game you wanted. You're not the first team, and you won't be the last team. My freshman year, Oklahoma went to the national championship game with one loss, even though we had one loss and we beat Oklahoma. It happens. It happens. You build resiliency.
Humble brag.
Next year, I went to the national championship game. It happens, Notre Dame.
Everybody, I think this guy's using this as an opportunity to talk about it.
And also, how you going to complain and moan about not being able to go to the dance when you ain't even have no great wins all season? It ain't like you was undefeated. Like, let's be real here. Last thing I'm going to say is this states and sets a terrible precedent in college football. We got 10-win teams. 10-win teams? Turning down bowl games now? This is something children do. Some kids do. When kids don't get what they want, so they just sit in the corner and pout. It's pathetic, bro.
Oh. So then, whoever this guy is. Then there's this fan, Vic Lombardi. He has a point of view. Let's check out what Vic Lombardi says. I wonder if he's related to Vince Lombardi.
All right. Emergency press conference. I can honestly say I've never been more proud.
This guy's a big Notre Dame fan.
Of the people who run things at Notre Dame,
this guy,
my alma mater,
opposite point of view,
than I am right now. The moment they got screwed, and yes, the word is screwed, by the selection committee today, I put out why even go to a bowl game. And a couple hours later, the team got together. The players talked about it. Players wanted no part of it. Neither did the athletic department, the coaches, and Notre Dame has opted out of a bowl game.
Okay, so two different things here. First guy said, you're robbing the players. I mean, and then this guy is saying that they talked about it. Well, I don't know if this guy knows. How would he know? No one really knows who was involved in the decision-making process.
And some of you may say, well, look at this. They're just taking their ball and going home. And I say to you, what good comes out of playing in this bowl game against some other team that didn't get in? the expectations and the goals at Notre Dame, especially this season, were to win it all. Because truth be told, they're one of the few teams still out there that had a chance to win it all. There are several that got in to this Final 12 that have no chance. Let's be honest. Notre Dame did. And that's why when you play for nothing, why play at all? Playing in a meaningless bowl game without your top players who are going to opt out, that's just the nature of the business today. Why bother? For what? And the last reason is simple. Why give ESPN the television numbers? Because they'd be broadcasting whatever bowl game is out there. And they're the ones who put that fake show on every week, the CFP show. There's nothing in it. No reason to. So get better. And listen, at the end of the day, for those of you saying, well, Notre Dame could only blame itself because it won't join a conference, I say this to you. If your team had the ability to play an independent schedule, still compete against the best in the country, and be an independent team, you would do it. And you would accept it, especially the network money that comes with it. The difference is your team can't. No other team in the country can pull that.
All right, I don't want to hear any more of this. I have decided Notre Dame is a bitch school. This is a bitch move, and this is bullshit. Go out there and do your fucking job. That's embarrassing. Totally embarrassing. I don't know why that keeps dinging. This whole thing is a pile of shit by Notre Dame. Stevie says, I agree with this guy. I guess she's a Notre Dame fan. Get rid of the bowl games and change the playoffs to 24 teams. FCS football does it that way. FBS should do the same. I think buried in all of this is the fact that James Madison University and Tulane are in the college football playoffs. Okay. These two schools should not be in the playoffs. Yes, they've had great years, but they're loser schools that play pile of shit competition. Give me a fucking break. James Madison and Tulane. These are the types of teams that play games where, you know, there's like bleachers with 500 fans there. What an absolute pile of shit fucking deal that is. James Madison and Tulane. Over Notre Dame? Yeah, I think that they didn't do this right. I think it should be like if they said, all right, EZ, you're in charge of the college football playoffs. They said, these are our 12 before they went public with it. I was all right, so Tulane is there, and okay, they're out. Why? They were undefeated. They won all their games. Yeah, they're pile of shit schools with pile of shit players. They play pile of shit schedules. Fuck you. Notre Dame makes more money. They're in. That's what should happen. This is ridiculous. And so I think it came down between Miami and Notre Dame. And yeah, it's okay. Every year this happens. Okay. And there was a time when we didn't have any playoffs in college football. And now we have playoffs. Now it's expanded to 12 teams. What's next? They might as well just double it and make it 24. And in fact, triple it. Make it 36 teams get in. That way, nobody can bitch. And that's the end of it. I think one of you suggested that in the chat. Cole, get rid of the bowl games and change the playoffs to 24 FCS. Oh, that's right. I read that one. Yeah, I agree. Clown of Carnage, they won their conference. No difference than Final Four. They want to join and win a con. They want Notre Dame to, I can't understand what you wrote. Just start the season as the first bracket of the playoffs. Well, no, you can't do that because playoffs are win and go home. So that means that the first week of the of college football, you're if you lose, you don't play any more games. Hey, we were one and done this year. You train all that time for one football game. That doesn't make any sense. Chris says, exactly. No, you can't do that, you dick. It would be fun maybe once. You lose, you're done. So however many teams there are in college football, I think there's, what, 200 and something? Can you imagine if Michigan plays their first game and they lose? Oh, senor, I'm so mad at Michigan. By the way, in the NFL yesterday, the Packers beat the Bears at Lambeau. And that makes everything tighter in the NFC North. That means the Packers are now 9 wins, 3 losses, and a tie. And the Bears are 9 wins, 4 losses. Right behind them, Detroit at 8-5. Detroit and Chicago play in the season finale in Chicago. I will say this. Chicago and Green Bay are both very good, and they're both better than the Lions. Right now, I will tell you that. Because I always, you know, call it like I see it. I always keep it real. And I'm not going to sit here with Lions blinders on and say that right now. There is no fucking way today the Lions beat Chicago or Green Bay on their home field. Something positive happens. It could be momentum. Like if the Lions rattle off 3 wins going into Chicago, then perhaps. Tyler says, I don't like the Lions' chances against the Rams this week. that's not going to be easy. I don't think they've got, I don't think anything is easy from here on out. This is a tough road. You got the Rams on the road. In fact, they have 4 games, the Lions, and only 1 at home. Oh, no. At the Rams, very difficult. Host the Steelers. Steelers have fallen on their ass. At the Vikes, always tough to play on the road in the NFL. And at the Bears. That's fucked. Donut Dan says, holy cow, are you channeling your inner HVAC guy? No, I'm not a stupid moron. That would be Joe Martinez. Which, by the way, and I do have a staff meeting to get to in a little bit. As the week wound down, I was talking to you about how I was convinced that sometime today Joe Martinez would be coming over and taking care of some issues. I talked about how the heated floors in this house stop working. There's the basement has heat, baseboard heat, and on the main level of the house, laundry room, mud room has heated floors, and the sunroom has heated floors. They stopped heating. It's fucking freezing in there. So then I'm taking a shower on Friday after I got done podcasting, and the shower was lukewarm. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Then it dawns on me. I go, I bet you my boiler is out. And this is not like a traditional water heater. And so I go and I look at it's next to the furnace, and it's on the wall. It's a boiler. And there's all this set of tubes, and the water goes through there, heats it up, and stores it in a hot water tank. But the hot water, I'm giving you too many details. Anyway, I look at the screen on the boiler, and it says locked out. I'm like, what the fuck? So that means it's not working. So that's the problem. The boiler is not operating. Son of a bitch. Now this is, there is only one thing I know how to do. Unplug it. So I unplugged it. And I waited a minute. And then I plugged it back in. And son of a bitch, it worked. Prior to that, I had a conversation with fuckface Joe Martinez, though. And boy, we were going at it. First, I sent him, before I figured it out, the dilemma. Update. I shut it all down for a bit and then I powered it back up. I'll keep an eye on it and let you know. You better be ready to be on call and to work for free or I'm calling ICE. Then I rubbed it in his face that dumb fuck said that Ohio State was going to beat Indiana. What a dumb shit. I wrote, you don't know shit about football and you are gay. And the only reason why you aren't responding to these awesome insults is because ICE agents took your phone. He writes, this is how stupid you are. I'm not on call this weekend, and when I'm not on call, the text messages don't go through. I've explained that to you before, dumb shit. Nonsense. You were just scared, and you were arrested. That's why you did not respond. I talked some more shit. I told him Michigan is playing Youngstown State in the buttfuck bowl, and I'm rooting for Youngstown. He said, no, they're probably going to play Texas. I said, no, they're not. That won't happen. And now he's telling me they're playing Texas. About our Lions. Tyler says, I can see them beating Pittsburgh and Minnesota. The other two, I'm not confident. We shall see. Get to a couple of sponsors here. Merchant Automotive, if your truck has a Duramax engine or an Allison transmission and you live in West Michigan and shit's hitting the fan, that's who you call. They're in Zeeland, Michigan. You can get more info at merchant-automotive.com. Merchant-automotive.com. They also have, for you audience members that are not in West Michigan and you are a DIY pro, tons of different kits that you can buy and install yourself to help improve the performance of your diesel truck. All at merchant-automotive.com. Their website is set up beautifully, and they have thousands upon thousands of people who have ordered their products and taken advantage of them and have utilized them to improve the performance of their Duramax engine or their Allison transmission. Merchant-automotive.com. Big savings when you DIY, or if you need help in person, get that vehicle over to Merchant Automotive in Zeeland, Michigan. Now, they service the diesel truck with the Duramax engine or the Allison transmission. Those two pieces of equipment are not serviced by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. For the rest of us that have cars, I want you to take them to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. Servicing all makes and models of cars, hybrids, and EVs. I've talked about this many times. When the dealerships get in the weeds, they call upon Irvine's to help them out. ERVines.com. That's ERVines.com. And don't just take my word for it. Look at all their amazing Google reviews that they have. 616. Oh, I'm sorry. I got distracted. 616-532-6600, ervines.com. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there for the first half of the show. I'm off to the radio station staff meeting. I'll talk to you. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.